Everybody's saying it this morning. Happy New Year. And, you know, there's been a lot of verses going around already. What is God saying to us as a church and encouraging us forward? Thanks for the words this morning, Carol. I know Richard put some on the other day. I think other people did as well. Thank you for the words of encouragement into the new year. And the scripture that Pat and I want to bring to the church this morning comes from Isaiah, but from chapter 54, and just verse 2. Isaiah 54 and verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. So we start off by wishing you a happy new year. And lots of people will have had text messages from all around the world this morning saying the same message. And they'll continue to get them throughout the day. We've heard from loved ones, we've heard from people that we don't often hear from. And we think, oh gosh, did I send them a card? And maybe not. But we can blame the post this year. And then you'll hear from people who say, well, I hope it's a better one this year than it was last year. Other people will say, of course, hope it's as good as it was last year, and so on. But every year has its good and bad points. But sometimes the bad seem to outweigh the good. And we use that as a reason not to remember. We remember the bad points, don't we? And we don't want to remember the good. But here we are now. It's the 1st of January. And to some, it's just another date on a long string of dates. You know, it was the 20th, the 21st, and the 30th, the 31st, and now it's the 1st. And guess what? Tomorrow will be the 2nd. And it'll soon be, well, you'll have to look back at the moment, Richard. You'll have to start walking, oh, that old song, you know, I'm walking backwards to Christmas. And to others, it's a special day. It was a birthday. It's a birthday for Pat. She's run out of the way, I think, to avoid me mentioning it. She's coming back now. It's her special birthday today. And to others, you know, we now start and we're hoping for better things to come. Sometimes we cry out to God for more good news than bad news. We probably had our share of bad news this last year when we think of the troubles around the world. And you know, my heart this last year has been for the Ukraine and to pray every day. And sometimes we say, oh Lord, we've run out of things to pray. We don't know what to pray next. And so we say the same prayer again. And we keep praying, Lord, you know, stop those missiles reaching their destination. Stop the hurt. Heal the people. And so we keep on praying for that. And so we look back and we look forward. Now, the Romans had a god called Janus. I've got a picture of him here, I think. Yes, there he is. And Janus was the man who looked back and looked forward at the same time. He was looking back over the old year and looking forward into the new year. And it's probably where they got the name for the month of January from. He's the God of beginnings. He's the God of gates, of transitions, of time, duality, doorways, passages and endings. And he's looked back at what's gone and he's looking forward to some of the things that are coming forward. And that's what we want to do today. We want to look forward. Some of you will be familiar with a poem written a long time ago now by a lady called Minnie Louise Haskins. She was an American lady, and she wrote these words. You've gone too far, Phil. No, slide 7.
There's nothing on that slide.
Is there not?
No.
Okay. I beg your pardon. Right, I'll read the first bit then.
Is that it?
That's the one. Oh. Yep, there we are. And they said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, and it's back to the other slide now, Phil. Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you a better light and a safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night, and he led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. That poem was read by King George VI, just as war had broken out. It was his Christmas broadcast, and the whole horror of war lay before the country. and he read those words, "Go out into the darkness." And it was a dark time. War was looming and problems were coming. Now our circumstances here today in Spain are a lot different to that. We are not, as a country here, as a nation, or as our home nations of the UK, of Holland, and anywhere else that we may be from today. Our circumstances are not like that. But we know people that are in that mess. And we think that as a church, you know, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6 tells us this: "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We actually live in the midst of a very real battle. And sometimes things will come and where did that come from? Why did somebody do that? Why did they choose this moment to say this? And it's surprising sometimes how the enemy will get hold of things and use them and bring them into our circumstances. He wants to stop us moving forward. The enemy wants to stop us being a powerful church for the force of God. And today we need to look at what God wants us to do in the coming year, and to prepare ourselves for the spiritual battles ahead. For those who don't know, Wellspring was established 17 years ago. And we adopted a phrase which said on it, "Growing together in God." We were a very small church. To start with, we were only 10 or 12 people. Well, in fact, to start with, we were only 4 people: Andrew, Wendy, Pat and myself. But from those 4, we became 10. And 10 became 12 and 20 and 24. And we actually grew, and we had an anniversary one year with 50 people. And then people left. One or two people died. People moved on, went back to the UK or wherever. And here we are now, starting to grow again. You know, we're up nudging 30 this morning, I believe, something like that. And we're starting to grow and to see what God has what God wants us to do in the coming year. Now, you know that my prayer has been, I wonder what that was. It doesn't usually make that noise. Yes, it's maybe got a New Year song. Our prayer has been and is to see 50 people in church. I know people say, well, it's not a numbers thing. Of course it's not a numbers thing. And yet it is. It's not a numbers thing because we just want to be able to boast and say we're a church of 50. But it's a numbers thing because we want to see new people coming in. We want to see people born again into the kingdom of God and consequently the church growing. And in that way, it is a numbers thing. I do hope you agree with me. I suppose in a way we ought to set a short-term target of 40 and then to 50. And when we get to 50, guess what? I've got a new target looming in the background of 75. And we had 76 people in here on Christmas Eve. So we know we can do it. We know we can fit 76 people around the table. And then we'll start to see where we go from there. But this is what the text says to us today. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. In other words, 40, 50, 75. God's saying, don't hold back. Keep pushing forward. The verse talks about growth and coping with growth and strengthening our foundations. I like the way the Message translation brings this scripture to us. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. And we keep thinking about the way forward. And at a recent leaders meeting, Pat brought us a new tagline which says this: knowing God more, sharing Him more. Knowing God more, sharing Him more. And a scripture in Daniel and chapter 1 and verse 32, and if you read it in the New American Standard Bible, it says, "But the people who know their God will display strength and take action." And if we look at this in context with our scripture from Isaiah, we can see the excitement of both personal and church growth. We want to grow as individuals, and that's exciting. And we want to grow as a church, and that's exciting. You know, one of the scriptures I love is when we read in Isaiah 9 about His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God. And that little section finishes up with, it starts off with, "And the government of His people shall be upon His shoulders." And that section finishes off, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty shall accomplish this." There's excitement in growth. There's excitement in what's coming in the future for us. So let's have a look at church growth. I've talked about numbers already, so I won't do that. But we talk about evangelism. And it struck me, you know, sometimes our evangelism is a bit like a man with a shotgun. You've probably seen the film sometimes where a man, an old film, and a man's discovered a burglar or something on his property, and he chases him off with a shotgun. And he fires the shotgun, and I don't know, hundreds of pellets shoot out of the gun, but they scatter. And two or three hit their target. And we have to pray. You know, when we have events like Christmas Eve, and we see 76, and somebody said that to me, that, "Well, wouldn't it be wonderful to see 76 people here next Sunday?" But we have to be grateful for the two or three people that our outreach met at that time. And to pray that it will continue to reach more people as we go forward. And we're going to reach out in all sorts of ways. And we're going to contact all sorts of people, some of whom will respond in a positive light. You know, there's a well-known adage that says, "Preach the gospel at all times. Use words when necessary." As I listen to feedback that originates with people new to the church, what's the thing that stands out most? I have to say, it's not the exciting worship. It's not the serious love in communion. It's not the brilliant speaking and preaching. What really reaches out to people from this church is love. The excitement and the love that people receive as they come to church. And that love rubs off on people. It works on people and it encourages people to come and join us. And it's going to be the glue that holds us together in the months to come. And there is a hurting world out there. It's full of hurting people. And it will be our warmth and our greeting that encourages people to come in. And it will speak mountains to these people. And if necessary, we'll use words. Now, as we grow, there's a scary thing, you know, as well. As we grow and we try to accommodate more people in this room, we'll have to move chairs. And we'll have to move tables into different places. And you'll come in one Sunday and you'll say, "Well, I used to sit there."
I'm not moving.
Exactly. And we'll have to learn the lesson of the Baptist church. How do you move a piano? An inch at a time. So nobody notices that it's moved. But we will have to move. We will have to start to rearrange things so more people can fit into this room. Are you willing to widen your tent curtains? Are we willing to lengthen the cords which hold us together? You may not see the needs today. There are plenty of empty tables and empty spaces. But that is not going to be the way it's going to be in the future. We are going to grow. We are going to get bigger. Pat brought this word, knowing God more, sharing Him more. And I wanted to call it a tagline. And then I thought, well, that doesn't sound to be the right word. What's the right word? So I did my usual thing and I Googled it. And I came up with this thing that said it's a watchword. And that's what we want for this coming year, isn't it? A watchword. A word that will take us forward, that we can keep looking at. And our watchword starts with knowing God more and sharing Him more. See, it's one thing to build a bigger tent, and it's another thing to lengthen the cords. But just for a minute, I want you to imagine, if you ever went camping, and I know people, I know that Audrey certainly went camping when she was early married. They went off. I went off camping with my mum and dad. It wasn't particularly exciting. But we had a tent, it had ropes or strings almost that went into tent pegs. Now I want you to think of the big circus tent that comes to the town each year. It has bigger ropes, it has stronger ropes, and it has a lot bigger tent pegs. And they're longer, and they're driven deeper into the ground to hold the bigger tent. And that's what we need. We need more strength in ourselves to cope with the bigger church. Amen? It's going to take longer tent pegs to support a bigger tent. Now I wrote this down, or started writing this down on Monday, and added to it on Tuesday. And by Wednesday morning, Pat said to me, look what I've just received, an email from an organisation called Prophetic Word. And it just seemed to confirm what we're saying this morning. And the word came and it said this: the people that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Stop dwelling on the obstacles and immerse yourself in my presence. Drink deeply of my spirit and saturate your mind with my promises. In that atmosphere, the boldness to act will find you, and your faith will sprout the legs that will run you into the very heart of my purposes. Stop stalling, says the Father. No more delay. No more talking yourself out of what I have promised. It is a new day, says the Father, and this is your now time and your now season. Rejoice and be unafraid. The endorsement of heaven is upon you now for change and transformation. Now, what an amazing word to receive for us as a church. The promise of God is on us and is taking us forward. And as we go forward, our home groups will become a stronger place where we can study God's word more. That's lengthening your tent pegs. That's making a stronger tent. But in our home groups, we can ask questions. We can share opinions. We can learn. But most of all, we can grow in the knowledge of God and our love for God. And groups will grow. And yes, there will be change. And yes, groups, we've got 3 home groups at the moment. Before too long, there'll be 4. Now that new group will not be just new people. It will be taken from the other groups. It's change. It's going to happen. Because we're growing. And the more you know God, the more you will want to share Him with others. You'll want to be Jesus to a hurting world. You'll want to share God's love. You'll want to welcome new people. We will want to grow together in our love for Jesus, making our foundations stronger and strengthening the cords that bind us together. Now, if you're new to Wellspring, then perhaps I should say a bit more about who we are and what we believe. On our website, we've got a statement of faith, and it would take me half an hour to read it out, so I won't. But I will bring 3 abbreviated points about what we believe. We believe in one true and living God, revealed to us as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, His virgin birth, death for our sins, bodily resurrection, ascension unto God, and imminent return in power and glory. The Bible, we believe in the Bible, the true and inspired word of God. And we believe in the celebration of the Lord's Supper as a remembrance of Jesus. These are the things that are at the core of Wellspring Church. This is what we believe. We're firmly established in the Bible and the truth that it brings. That's why the start of the message this morning has a text that roots us into God's Word. And God's Word is truth for us. We have salvation brought to us by the blood of Jesus. Amen and hallelujah. Because by the blood of Jesus, Jesus dying for us, we are saved, we're born again. Amen. And Scripture tells us that we must be born again. And Jesus was asked, how can I be born again at my old age? And he said, we're born of water and then we're born of fire. We're born of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has come to live in us and brought us new life. And this is the excitement that we want to be sharing with people. We want to be living it in our lives. That just radiates love to people. And every once in a while, you know, we want to be in a situation where somebody says, why does he look happy all the time? Why is he so filled with joy or happiness or love? Let me tell you, it's because he knows Jesus. And that is one of the best introductions we can get to bring the gospel to somebody. When they see Jesus living in our lives and radiating out and blessing people. Spread the gospel by every means possible. And if necessary, use words. See, Jesus brought for each one of us a relationship with God the Father that we will meet him in heaven as our eternal home. We mourn over the ones that we lose, the people who've gone apart, and we say they've passed away. But you know, it's a strange word, isn't it, pass away? They haven't passed away, they've passed into. They've passed into a new life. A new life with Jesus in an eternal home that's been promised for us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. There's a mansion waiting for you. You might think you've got a poky little house at the moment and there's not enough room to swing a cat around or whatever. But Jesus has promised you a mansion to be with him forever. And of course, sometimes the question has to be asked, do you know Jesus? Do you know this Jesus that died for you, that gave his life for you and said, come unto me. Bring your burdens to me, lay them at the cross. I'll carry them for you. I'll be your Lord and Saviour. I will promise you an eternal home. You know, many of you read through Luke, I think, during Advent. I did. And I found myself on Christmas Day with no more Luke. So I started in John. And I'm up to chapter 8 now. And there Jesus was arguing with the Pharisees. Or debating with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were certainly arguing with him. Who do you think you are? And Jesus said, I am the Son of God. I have come from the Father. And what I tell you is not from me, but it's from the Father. And I'm telling you now, it's this Jesus that lives in a lot of the people in this room today that's going to go forward and spread out and take Jesus to a hurting world. If you don't know Jesus today, then I urge you to sit down with someone after this meeting and pray with them. Pray with them and confess the sin that separated you from Jesus for so many years. And do you know, it doesn't matter how many sins you've committed, it doesn't matter how long you've been committing those sins, in an instant, Jesus will forgive you and accept you into his kingdom as his child and he as your Lord and Saviour.
Amen.
Please, if you don't know this Jesus today, find someone and talk to them. As a church, we believe in the salvation and new life brought to us by the blood of Jesus. and we want to share it in as many ways as possible, and we want to strengthen our faith. We want to know God more, and we want to share Him more. A happy new year. It's going to be an exciting year.
Yeah.
And we're going to finish with a song by Stuart Townend that says this: it doesn't matter about anybody else. It's in Christ alone that we have our faith and our strength. Let's sing. In Christ alone. Just as Phil's finding that song for us, let's just remind ourselves that we need to know Jesus. We need to be in relationship with Jesus. And I want to urge you, if you don't know Him today, find someone, sit down with them, pray with them. It might seem an awful lot has gone on in the past, but Jesus has said, there's going to be an even lot more going on in the future with Him in your life. No, it's called In Christ Alone by Stuart Townend. No, it's not. It's almost like a hymn. Okay, if we can't find it, let me pray. Father God, as we come to the end of this first meeting of our new year, Lord, I pray that we will grow deeper in You, we'll make our foundations stronger and deeper and firmer. We'll be prepared to lengthen our tent ropes, Lord God, and to widen our tent to receive new people. Lord, we want to make space for new people in this church, in this family, and we want to extend the love of Jesus throughout this region. We want to be Jesus to a hurting world. So Father, would You go with us into this new year? We put our hand into the hand of God and into the unknown, and we receive and we accept You for Your glory's sake. Amen.
Amen.